report, chapter 47, verses 6, 7, and 8 together. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them unto thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that saith in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. I walk with my people. Who are God's people? This is on the number 37, 38, I guess. It's over on page 38 of our notes. 38. And who are his people? Who are the Lord's people he's talking about?
Israel.
All right, Israel, the people of the Lord. And he's addressing what nation, or what one in charge in verse 1? What is the nation that he's talking to here?
Babylon.
What's going to happen to the Judah, the northern two tribes, pretty soon? What's going to happen to them? They'll be taken away over to Babylon. See, Babylon's going to come. It's about 100 years away, but it's going to be happening. And so the Lord, through Isaiah, is telling him that he was wroth with his people. Now, what does it mean, I polluted my inheritance? In what way? Polluted my inheritance.
Profaned,
all right, desecrated. And given them into thine hand. Who's the thine refer to? Who's he talking to here?
Babylon.
All right, he's talking to Babylon. Committed into thine hand. And will the king of Babylon be treat them fairly?
No.
No mercy. Are there any other kings or nations that have treated people without mercy that we've known about in the past?
Yeah.
All right. What are some of the kings and kingdoms that have done this in times past? Merciless. Ruthless. Communist nations.
Yeah.
Communist Russia.
Hitler.
Millions. Slain. Stalin and Cuba and Castro and various others, China, all these slaughters, millions of people just killed and so on. What about the ape and the man that we're working on in Iraq? His own people. With his own people with bombs, with what are called mass destruction of the pollution of biological warfare. Yes, Anna?
Soviet Union,
all kinds of things. So,
very
bad.
It's based on it.
What is it?
The printing. The movie. The printing.
The printing? Called the Soviet Union?
No, it takes place in the Soviet Union.
What does?
The printing.
Called the printing? Well, I don't know about that. The printing, Dan?
There's a nation somewhere that they've been practicing infanticide for nearly 30 years.
Would that be China? Or would that be this country? United States of America. That's good. Infanticide for 30 years. Since the Wade, whatever it's called, Roe versus Wade. How many million are slaughtered in abortions every year in the country?
I just heard that. Yeah,
1.5 million.
It was a lot.
A year. Ever since it began, I don't know. What was the date of the Roe Wade decision?
1970?
73? 73?
Yeah.
That's
the
number of years.
That was just in the paper.
Recently, yeah.
And, yes,
Anna?
Each day, our own country, who used to be founded in school, there was respect for the Bible, even for people who weren't saved, and now we're killing babies, even before they're born.
Killing babies before they're born. And then, yes, Anna?
When they die inside their mother's tummy, well, that's okay, but when you are purposely, intentionally killing them, that's not good.
It's not good at all. In fact, it's murder. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, they should be arrested. Now, we heard today, you remember Oprah, I don't know whether this is Oprah, but she's got this murder conviction, the change of capital punishment, you remember, in the state of Illinois. Yeah, the governor was on Oprah today and yesterday, two days in a row. And I tell you, some of the, he committed everybody. What was it, 67 to life in prison without parole instead of the death penalty. And some of the victims' families were there. Boy, did they tell us that.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. I didn't
just see all of it, but...
But I heard it on the news, and how they were carrying on terribly.
Yes.
I didn't realize it was
up for a show. Yeah, it was up for a show. They ripped open the mother's stomach to kill the baby and kill the mother, and stabbed in the neck 11 times, the baby hurry, and they let her go free. There's no death penalty. If there's ever a death penalty called for, that certainly is one of them. But a lot of these stories were told. Of course, his reasoning was, we don't know whether the killers or not killers, and he gave statistics 60% were wrong and 40% were right, and therefore if we had killed them, we'd had 60%. But I don't know. He said he looked at all things. That was a real. But I tell you, it says here that show him no mercy, and these killers show people no mercy. The killers that kill the victims do the
hip-hop. Talk something on that one so it come through better.
Oh, this one here.
See how I could get all the people.
Dan, look at that. See, it's up that thing. It's doing it again. See. Do you help out in this one here? So she can hit the people. If you remember how to do that. He's our master.
How did that happen?
I don't know. And excuse your father.
Yeah.
He's the master one on the video camera, but
it happened Sunday
too, and so.
Well, you know, we were nailing it. Well,
yeah, while he's fixing that, no mercy at all, absolutely no mercy. And the slaughter, the Babylon is terrible indeed as far as what they do. In verse 6, upon the ancient, as thou not heavily laid thy yoke. Ancient people are supposed to be respected, older people, you know, but they don't want to do that. No respect to the elderly. Of course, that's the situation in many countries, isn't it? Of course, I don't believe in ancestor worship. Who worships ancestors?
Japanese and
Chinese and the Buddhists and Indians also. Worshiping it of the ancestors, we don't believe in that. But on the other hand, we believe in showing respect to the people. There's no question about that. Respect to everyone their thanks to. I think that's got it all right there. No, it doesn't have it. Some defect there. I don't know what it is, but he'll work on it and fix it up. He's our master video man. So then in verse. Heavily laid the yoke. Now, what does this mean? Heavily laid the yoke on older people. What do some countries do to older people?
Kill them.
They kill them. What's that called?
Euthanasia.
That's right, euthanasia. Yao means well. Thanatos is death. Well death. Well death. See, in other words, kill them so you know, peacefully get rid of them. Eskimos, I'm told, put some of the old people on the ice floes and float them out to sea, and that's the end. They just never did. People killing old people, yoke heavily upon them so that they die. It's a terrible thing. Now, then in verse 7, what does the king of Babylon say in his heart? What do you think he's going to be?
Well,
in other words, he's going to be just a delicate person, a wonderful, mannerly, eloquent and person, a lady. In other words, nothing wrong. And but did Babylon listen to the Lord in this verse? No, they didn't do it. They didn't lay things to the heart. The head may understand, but not the heart. Or to remember the latter end. Now, what is latter end? What's that talking about? What is the latter end when you kill people and are not gracious and not merciful, lay yokes on the older people? What's going to happen? What's the Lord going to think about that?
Well,
they'll get paid back. They're going to be paid back, certainly in the end, and they will be judged, won't they? Is that?
Doesn't the Bible say, I try to protect?
Yes, it says that in the Old Testament. And that was the method of judgment, yes.
And when there's a cattle stolen, it's killed somehow, or doesn't that person who stole it have to pay back 7 times?
Sevenfold, sometimes fivefold, sevenfold, depending on the thing. That's right. But the God is just, and He will take care of this. And the latter end. And then verse 8.
I didn't know so much.
Well, she's been studying the scriptures, you know, her mother's homeschool there. So what is it? Verse 8. What is true of the king of Babylon here? Is that very often practiced today?
Given things?
Given what? To what?
Pleasures.
Mm-hmm. What kind of pleasure are people given to today altogether too much?
Which verse?
This is verse 8. are given to pleasure. This king in the kingdom was a pleasure-loving. What is the Greek word for pleasure? Do you know that? Hedonos is one word. And so the word hedonism is one of the things, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, that word. And the hedonists, whether it's through eating, gluttony, whether it's by sexual sin, whatever it may be, whether it's narcotics, dope, whatever it may be, the sin, gambling, all these things, thou, it says of pleasure, thou art given to pleasures. What does the scripture say about he who loveth pleasure will be a what? Poor man. He who loveth pleasure will be a poor man. It's in the Proverbs. Why is it? Why does he have to be a poor man?
It doesn't last.
It doesn't last. And what else? What about pleasure? They're costly, aren't they? What about the pleasure of going to a championship Eagles game?
Very good.
Now, what about the cost on the, if you go to the internet and you buy a ticket, say, what are some of the scalper prices for the one that just one ticket?
I heard it's terrible.
$400-$600 One of them said even $1,000 on the video,
yeah.
On the TV,
yeah, something like that.
$1,000.
You know, they were skyboxes for $25,000.
Which one? Is there a skybox? $25,000.
What's a skybox?
That's one way up high. They way up
high.
Binoculars.
Binoculars. So, but no, he that loveth pleasure will be a poor man, because usually pleasure costs. Look at the cigarettes. I don't smoke, but look at how they've gone up and up and up, I'm told. Because we've got a son that's addicted to that nicotine. How are they? $5 a pack now, aren't they?
Cool, I guess.
Something like that. Is that Dan? It's up to $4.50.
They're heavily taxed.
Heavily taxed, that's right.
More than the cost of
more than gas,
the cost of the nicotine, or rather, is less than the tax.
I see. The tax is high. See, because the government knows that addiction brings the same with alcoholism. See, he that loves pleasures is a poor man. Just drink, and smoke from
here. They're poor spiritually, too.
That's right. Very poor spiritually.
More so, for nothing.
That's right. More so spiritually than that. Yeah?
Joseph.
He said they're poor spiritually, very poor spiritually, those that are addicted to these pleasures, drunkenness, whatever, smoking, narcotics, dope, yes.
Why?
In fact, one of the men that Oprah visited in the death row in the prison, she was taken to the prison, the cameras were in, he said, yes, I murdered someone. I'm guilty, and I think about it all the time, but I was young, I was drunk, I was on drugs, and I killed that person, and there I am. And I got to pay the rest of my life, see. So, but, you know, drugs, they lead to other things. Yes, fine.
It's like Larry Mann. I write to Larry Mann.
Yes, you ask your prisoner. It's not death row. We'll kill someone.
In Florida, because of R, and he doesn't remember. They told him what he did, and there's proof what he did, but he doesn't remember.
On drugs and so on. See, they lead to terrible, terrible spiritually.
He's fighting it all the time. I mean, one time he had his last meal.
Is that right?
He told me that recently. Yeah. He had his last meal, and evidently he got a stay.
Right.
They didn't have a lot of
They said it was going to be the last. So, pleasures are committed pleasures. We've got to be careful. Thou dwellest carelessly. How would that imply? Do we dwell carelessly or carefully? What's the dwelling carelessly?
Does that mean the same carelessly?
Yes, I think so. Yes, without
living
it.
Living carelessly.
Living carelessly and not being careful of what you do. It says in Scripture, beware, let him that thinketh he standeth, what?
Take heed,
lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed. We shouldn't be careless, we should be careful. Yes, fine.
I think of me, and you too, but you know, we're at the age that a lot of people have died already.
That's right. We look at the obituaries every night. She opens them up when we go out, reads them all. There she is again, instead of reading them all.
I just read the ages.
Ages, yeah. So give me some of the ages.
All the time.
Give me some of the ages, Bonnie, recently,
well,
just the other day.
Older.
49 was one, and the
30s. There are some people that are older. My Aunt Norma died.
Yes, she died this week.
Great for my relatives. She died on the 11th, the same day that Mr. Stadler died.
I guess it's Stadler. She said it. There's a Stadler in the
Stadler.
With a Stadler, yeah.
All right, well, I always get names mixed up. And she died at 6 o'clock in the morning. Can I talk about it?
Yes, go ahead.
She had lived with my cousin, Al, her son.
This is your aunt now. Your aunt Norma.
She lived with my cousin for quite a few years lately.
I don't know if it would be 10 years, but she couldn't take care of herself anymore because she had very bad arthritis. And Becky, the wife, took wonderful care of Aunt Irma, and then she couldn't do it anymore. It was getting too bad. She couldn't move her. She couldn't move fast enough for her to take care of her and stuff. So she got her into a rest home. She got her on Medicaid or something. And she was in a rest home before Thanksgiving, not too long before Thanksgiving. And then during Christmas, she was in the hospital with the different ailments that they were going to let some things go, and some they were treating by chip pains, And she went in for one thing, and then they found a lot of things wrong with her. But then she was home, according to Becky, 2 days in the nursing home, and then she's back at the hospital, and she died then in 2 days. So she had a fairly swift death.
Yes.
And she was ready to go, and she didn't want any tubes put in her of any kind.
Yeah.
And she said to Al, she said, "Don't embalm me. Bury me right away." And so that's what they did. They buried her the next day. Mm-hmm. Just had family.
Right.
Her grandson, sure. Donnie, who's named after my Uncle Don, came. I think he's a youth pastor or something. And he came up. And that's what they're going to have, just a graveside. And I said, "It's time." Not
yes.
That I had
and how old was she?
She was 91.
And her mom. Yeah. Well, that's for the reason. I mean, she didn't want to waste a lot of money.
She didn't have gray hair.
Just,
she didn't have gray hair.
Her mind was clear. Her
mind
was good.
And she said her one son was Louisiana, and her daughter, one daughter died, and her daughter lives in California, but it's in a mobile home, and I think she dropped in on Aunt Irma a lot. So she was there, Bill got there, and Becky said she stayed alive until Bill came. And she said goodbye to all her children. They all got around her bed. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so the Jews were very immediately. They were the last Jews, and so that's what she remembered. Just do that without any embalming. And
what brought that to my mind was dwellest carelessly.
Yes.
That we have, as we approach the end of our age, we have to be less careless.
That's right, because we can fall easily. See, Jill, just up there, she's young, she's not old at all. They got up on our driveway, tripped, it's a very bad, rough thing, and she just tripped. We got to be careful. Can't be careless in anything we do.
And then in our way that we live.
That's true.
We have to guard our life.
There's a scripture verse, Proverbs 27:1, that says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth," and we don't know. Every time when Miss Egan leaves for the day, I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. She's in her 70s. She doesn't know if she's going to be here. We don't either. But, so she always says it. It's interesting. She never says anything but. So she always says, "Lord willing." She has that. So we don't know what day before. So don't live carelessly. Don't live as if you're going to live forever, because none of us are going to live forever, except in heaven. I mean, but physically, we're going to live. If we're saved, we're going to live forever in heaven. Not on this earth. Our bodies will decay. Yes, Aunt?
Unless the Lord is coming very soon.
Unless He's coming, then we will live and our bodies will be changed. But otherwise, our bodies will die. Go to the earth. So, notice what sort of mental attitude does the King of Babylon have in verse 8?
Second comment.
Yes, Aunt?
Now, we may live to be old, but the 900-year age is over.
That's right. We can't live that. But even at the 969 years, which is Methuselah's age in Genesis chapter 5, in that he died. See, 900 feet. There's no end unless the Lord should come back. What is the attitude mentally in verse 8 of this king of Babylon?
He's rather egotistical.
And that's some people, do you know, perhaps, are that way? Or don't you know anything that way?
Yes, there are people.
There are people. I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow. Now, what does that mean? Not going to sit as a widow. I'm always my children.
Without anybody.
All right. When battle comes, and the Babylonians and the soldiers are killed and slaughtered, and one day that was true. You remember, he was a big king, and who was the kingdom after Babylon? There are four kingdoms. Babylon was the first. Nebuchadnezzar. What's the second? Anybody but Anna know? All right, Anna, what's the second thing? Who took over Babylon?
Media and Persia,
which is over there in Iraq, type of thing. See, Media and Persia. Then after Media and Persia, then who took over the third kingdom? Anybody but Anna knows. So. All right, what's the third kingdom?
Greece
took over. And once Greece fell, what's the fourth kingdom that took over? Anybody but Anna know that one? Rome, that's right. Rome took over. And that's what was there. Rome was there at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rome was the Roman government. So Babylon Babylon was the one in charge, and he thought he was something. Mm-hmm. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, built a big image to himself probably as the god and had everybody bow down and worship him. So, but he was a big man, and he thought he was nobody else, and he's not going to have any worry. But as soon as the Medo Persians came, they took over, they slaughtered those Babylonians, and took over, and they became slaves. Yes, Anna?
And after Rome, there's one more which has not taken place yet. And after that, the Lord will come.
There's one more kingdom, the fifth kingdom, which is different from Babylon, Medo Persia, Greece, and Rome. There's an image of the beast, and this big image.
It's clay
mixed with iron. That's going to be a kingdom maybe of this last time, so the ten toes, perhaps the Eastern European country. And then the Lord Jesus will come back and smash that image and smash those European, whatever they may be, and then he'll set up the millennial kingdom. So there's all these kingdoms. So he said there was no loss of children, but he did have a lot of loss of children, as we see. Let's read 9, 10, 11 of Isaiah 47, beginning at verse 9. Now these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. All right, so again, briefly, what two things are going to come on this king of Babylon? Children and widowhood. In other words, if a woman doesn't have any children, and no husband either, she's without anything, she's a widow, and she has no children. And in one day, what was the reason for this judgment of God on Babylon? What will be the reason as he looks forward, verse 9? Why is God going to do this to her? Make her a widow?
Because of the sorceries.
And great enchantments. Now, what is involved with sorcery and enchantments? Is there any sorceries and enchantments today when we're living? Satanic sorceries all over. Mm-hmm. Yes, Anna, do you have a comment on that?
Yes, the devil started.
The devil started, that's true. The witch of Endor in the Old Testament, do you remember, in the times of Samuel, and other things. We have all sorts of people that worship idol things and wicked things. In fact, we mentioned in one of the sheets that are on the book rack even the other day, last Sunday, a couple Sundays ago, we mentioned that these who were in charge of rock music have said and agreed, it's one of those things up there, that they get their inspiration from evil spirits. That something takes over them and they don't know what takes over them. They aren't performing rock music and the devil, see. It's enchantment, it's sorcery, strange things. And that's from their own testimonies. He has about 10 or 11 witnesses, and he just quotes what they say about their music. Moans of the sorceries, abundance of the enchantments. And then in verse 10, what's another reason why Babylon is going to be judged?
Trusted
in thy wickedness. Now, is wickedness something to trust in?
No.
Well, let me ask you this. Is even righteousness something to trust in? If it's your own righteousness,
it
has to be the Lord's righteousness. Will your own righteousness get you to heaven?
No.
No, it has to be what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary to take you into heaven. Trust in wickedness, and then said, none seeth me. Now, what philosophy is that? Do some have that feeling today? None seeth me. When is most sin accomplished? Daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime.
How do they? Nightlife, see? And you take a woman of the street, is a woman of the night, many times, see? The parties, what time do nightclubs usually close? Not that I know from personal experience, but what are the usual night? Yes, 2 o'clock. There's a lawyer that knows. 2 o'clock. Nightclubs close because that's what people do. They just go out in the night. But it says that wickedness knows no one seeth me. Now, can you close the door on the Lord so that he can't see you?
No, can't.
All the time? Day or night? Nothing at all. That's right. Can't hide. There's nobody can hide. See, we have all these different things in the air that can see through the night and the stew, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Night bombers?
Regular, what do you call those rays that come in? That can see in the dark.
Nighttime glasses,
whatever, radar or something, can pierce even the darkness. See, well, the Lord's got that before man ever invented it. He knew all about it. Yes, Anna?
I forgot what
it was. Okay, and so none seeth me. And so if somebody doesn't think anybody's seeing them, does that make them do less sinning or more sinning?
If they don't think anybody's seeing them, they're going to continue on.
Continue, there's nobody to restrain them, no law official, no government official, no preacher, no, the Lord can't see them, they don't believe in him. And then thy wisdom and thy knowledge, what has that done to them?
Perverted.
Now, in what way can wisdom and knowledge pervert?
Well, they have the wrong type of wisdom.
Wrong type of wisdom. Yes, Anthony?
They're smart. They think they can get away with it.
All right, they think they get away with it. And what about schools and colleges and so on and so forth? There's a lot of wisdom and knowledge taught there, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the be-all and end-all of the life?
No.
Does that make somebody wise and spiritual and everything right just because they go to school?
Not necessarily.
No? Al Capone was very smart, but he was a criminal.
He didn't go to school either.
Pardon me?
He didn't go to college.
No? He doesn't have to go to college. You know, a lot of smarts even on the street. Street smarts, I guess you call them. But wisdom and knowledge are perverted. In fact, some of the greatest perversions are in school. In fact, I think Dr. What's this scientist's name?
Kent Hovind.
Kent Hovind. Yes, Dr. Kent Hovind has said. he's another Miss White. He has said that, well, I think he says 75% of the Christian students, Christian homes, children that go to a public school come away with their faith shattered. Shaken. I don't know whether that's true or not. High percentage. High percentage. So who knows? Maybe they don't have any much faith to start with, but there's a terrible drain on the knowledge and wisdom. But if it's thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it perverts. What does perversion mean? What does perversion of wisdom mean? How would that pervert people? Wisdom, human knowledge.
Changes their thought.
Right.
What it is.
Twists. Pervert means like a perversion of sexual perversions, a twisted or warped thing. It's a twisted and warped thing, and if you have wisdom and knowledge that says there is no right thing or wrong thing, everything's relative. If that's what your wisdom and knowledge teaches you, that's
not much.
Then you could do anything. Pervert it. Right could be wrong, wrong could be right. And God says in Isaiah chapter 8, woe unto you that call darkness for light and light for darkness. They call evil good and good evil. So woe unto you that are righteous in your own eyes. And God says we've got a standard. That's the word of God. So there was the perverted, the not perverted. And then what is, again, the attitude in their hearts in verse 10 of this king of Babylon?
There's no other beside me.
No other beside me. Now, what was the boxer who said, I am the greatest? What's his name?
Muhammad Ali.
Cassius Clay. That's right.
Originally.
That's right. See, there are people now, we kind of laughed at it, but I think he probably believed it. He's the biggest, the best, he's the greatest. He can beat everybody and knock them down and knock them out. Now the poor fellow's lost most of his marbles.
Huh? Right.
Marbles or senses. Right, that's right. Senses, that's right.
Punch drunk.
Boy, that's right. It's terrible. Is it a disease? What is it? Arterial sclerosis, yeah.
No, it's lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
He doesn't have to command it.
Parkinson's isn't very hard. That's sad. That's really
it's
sad.
But it did brought on by being punched.
A lot of it probably, we don't know the real cause of anything, but I mean, if somebody hit you, they had to open. Many things.
Plenty of Parkinson's disease people that never boxed them.
No, but I heard that his was brought to help. Encouraged.
Could be. Joe, you had a comment?
Yeah. No, I was talking about him and his brain can rattle around. He's
yeah.
Much
oh, yeah. When you rattle that brain around, I mean, the brain is inside of the skull. That skull knocking, I mean, pretty soon it...
That's where they get the term punch drunk, I guess.
That's right. You get the term punch drunk. So, thus said my heart, I am and none else beside me, see. Now, if somebody thinks they're the only most important people in the world, what are they going to be like? Do you like that kind of person that says, I'm the best in the world?
Get away from them.
Yeah. What do they do to other people? If they're the only one, talk to them off, or they don't think they're any good, they're not worth much, do they talk to them?
No.
Do they ask their opinion of anything?
Sometimes they
But people that are the only ones that are the best in the world, do they need to ask opinion of anybody else? But they know everything. They got it. They don't have to ask counsel. And so this is what the king of Babylon said in my heart. And then in verse 11, what else? God promises to do what? What's his punishment?
Evil's
coming. What's the kingdom that's going to take him over? After Babylon, Persia. Medo Persia, that's right. Medo Persia. Alright, and so
Greeks, Romans.
Then the Greeks and then the Romans. That's exactly right. So there again. What are the four again?
Babylon.
Medo Persia.
Greece.
Greece.
And
Rome.
That's it.
Those
and then the last one.
The last one, sort of a Roman revival of the Roman Empire, the Ten Toes, probably the European Alliance is coming up right now, heading up. And then the Lord Jesus will return and smash that image in his feet and it will fall down. And then he will have the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and the millennial reign of Christ, God's kingdom. Put that down. Yes, Anna?
That's what's my favorite part.
What is your favorite part?
When the rat comes and smashes the feet.
Okay, you like that rat smashing the feet. All right, that's where in the Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the image there in the book of Daniel. All right, and so it says, evil shall come upon, and thou shalt not know from whence it rises. Now, let me ask you that. If you know what something's coming at you, do you prepare more, or if you prepare less, if you don't know where it's coming from?
Prepare more if you know where it's coming.
All right, if you know where it's coming, you prepare. If you don't know where it's coming from, you can't prepare, can you? Now, there was an anthrax attack in Washington, D.C. the other day. All right, who knows where it came from? If you don't know it's there, you can't prevent it. Now, remember the scare, first of all, there's anthrax, and so don't open any taxes, look at it first, get gloves in it. Now everybody's opening their mail, there's no problem, see, but you don't know what's there. And the same way with natural gas or poisonous gas or gas of biological warfare. If you don't know what's coming, you just breathe in it, you're dead.
You're not going to know it.
Just like people that turn on the gas and by get inhalation of gas and die, they don't know the difference. Yeah, that, fine.
Did we ever tell them about those packages that went to some bank in Kansas City? There was a mix up, some deaf people orders were mixed up and went to the bank and they called in the men with those suits, begin with the H, those suits,
because when they
opened up the start of the powder came out, it was really from the packages, you know,
yeah.
Package thing. And so they have that emergency because of our
see, the man put the wrong address, he put a bank, his own bank, instead of his own address, so we sent it to the bank, looked at it, and of course
Unexpected
package. They didn't know what Bible for a day was. They never heard of that. So they were, and it's a little poor powder back then. So what do you call those suits? Hazmat suits. The hazardous materials. Hazmat. Damn it. Hazmat. Hazardous material suits.
So powder in there.
Powder was just part of the packing. I don't know what it was.
When you open up, sometimes
the
stuff comes out of the packing.
Dusty.
Dusty stuff. Dusty things. So they weren't used to that. So,
it was Bibles, two Bibles.
Two Bibles. So they had one of them.
Yeah.
Never opened them. Perversity and none else. Thou shalt evil come to thou know from whence it ariseth. And that's the dangerous part. If you know where it's not coming, that's what it means to have a trap. Remember on Sunday morning we preached on that lest you be delivered from the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That word snare, pygus, is a trap, and it's an unexpected thing. That bird is not expecting. That whatever the squirrel going into that trap, whatever the trap is, an unexpected thing, see. Just like that, you're done. It's like if a man comes up to you and pulls a gun out and shoots you. You don't expect the gun to come out and shoot you, see. It's just, it could be slow. So this is unexpected. You don't know where it's coming from. It's like the wind. As the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, he said, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. See the way it's coming. Don't know where it's coming, where it's going. But, and mischief shall fall upon thee. That's trouble, isn't it?
Trouble, and capital T.
Capital T, that's right. Will they be able to fight against this trouble? No, there's some troubles you can't ward off. You cannot ward them off. They're part of you, see.
Yeah.
You just have to take them, accept them, and put up with them.
Go on.
That's right, Yvonne.
We heard from Jerry Hooper's wife. Jerry Hooper is a pastor in Raleigh, Durham area.
Yes, we were there for meetings years ago.
And she wrote and said that her husband last year sometime was in Mexico, I think, with some missionary, and they were in a car, and they were young people in the car, and they were passing lane, and a truck came right across them. They couldn't stock, and so they hit, and Jerry was hurt. They were all hurt. Jerry was hurt really bad. That's unexpected.
Unexpected hurt.
But you know what she said? You can't prevent it. They said you can prevent it.
It's for life. He'll have these crooked ribs and different things. It's just a terrible thing. He lived. There's no death in it, but terrible cripple.
We also heard from Mrs. Hollywood, Dr. Hollywood.
Yes.
Which I don't know if people know. And he's an elderly man, active in the Deep River and society when he could be. And he's in a Root Creek in a rest home.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in a Root Creek recuperation place, and now she's back in her apartment. I just throw that out in case anybody knows.
Yes, so we don't know if these things are unexpected. Come on, suddenly, decimation in verse 11. It shall come suddenly again, which thou shalt not know. So some of these things we don't know, we can't take any knowledge of, but they just come upon us. Let's read verse 12, 13, and 14 together. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored upon from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art weary in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Is the 14 we go to?
Yes.
Okay. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. These shall not be coal to warm them, nor fire to sit there before. All right. So in verse, what is the Lord sort of humorously saying in verse 12? What's the advice of King of Babylon to do? What's the advice of King of Babylon to do?
Stand with them.
Okay, stand right there with the enchantments. And the most of that sorceries. Now, are the sorceries enchantments going to help this king?
No.
No, they can't help them. But just go ahead and...
Sarcasm.
Sort of sarcastic. When I asked labor from my youth, see, they were wicked and satanic and sorcery-ridden from their youth. They'll be able to profit, they must prevail. And then in verse 13, wearied with thy counsel, the multitude of thy counsels. With whom were they taking counsel?
Astrologers.
Astrologers or stargazers. Now, is their counsel true?
No.
Is it sometimes true?
No.
By guesswork?
Well, yes. They're lucky.
In other words, it's 50-50 chance of whether the thing is this or that. I mean, if it's yes or no. So sometimes...
Weather predictors.
It's either going to be fair, it's going to be bad weather or good weather. But it's bad counsel. Stand that chance, both of that sorceries, where I'm labor in my youth, if so be able to profit, if I may prevail. In other words, if they're going to help you, let's go ahead and try it. Weary the multitude of that counsel. Look at astrologers, stargazers, prognosticators. What is a prognosticator?
Like a
fortune teller. Guess man. Guess man. Right, a guess man instead of yes man. And the medical terms of prognosis is what?
I'm roughly telling you what's wrong with you.
What's will happen? What's the future? See, pro is before. Prognosis is to know. To knowledge before him. What's the knowledge before him? What do you tell it's going to predict? It's a prediction. So these prognosticators were those who predicted the future. Stand up and shall save thee from these things come upon thee. Well, it's not going to happen. And verse 14, what does God say is going to be? What's his analogy here?
They're going to burn.
Burn like stubble. What is stubble?
It's
stubble on the beard. It's beard.
Thorns.
little stuff, huh? Little combustible stuff that burns.
Fast.
Mm-hmm. They shall burn. They shall not deliver themselves. See, it's not going to do it from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before. They're going to be burning. There won't be a fire to warm themselves, but to burn themselves. Now, I was listening to the news today of something that said that going to the vet, or wherever it's going to be, on this Sunday for the game for the Eagles, be sure you have hand warmers. And gloves, they had all these things for $150, you can buy all the stuff. But then he said, hand warmers put in the belt like this, you put your hands in there to keep warm.
Who can do that?
What are they? What keeps them warm in there? There's
a belt. Your body heat.
Yeah, but then they've got some a belt or something they can put around.
The football players have that.
Yeah.
It's like a money belt except it has pockets. And they have warmers in there that...
They have warmers to keep them warm.
This is
they have the special one. Break a little bag and send it out of heat.
I see. To heat them up.
I went walk this afternoon about 4:30, 4:05, and it was cold, about 24, and I came cold. In. I had gloves on, but my hands were just numb from cold. And I came in, took my hat and coat off and gloves off, and Morgan was laying under a blanket. Really? So I went in and I said, let my mom put her hands on your tummy to get cold warm.
Yeah.
And she thought that was so funny. Oh, mom, they're cold. But that's true. Your body heat.
Yeah,
you're putting them up faster.
Yeah. But I guess it's the special belt, that heat belt is what they've asked to do. That's right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
One time I bought Richard, you know, he had his paper out and he didn't have a heater in his car. He had to keep his window open. And I bought him something. I don't remember what it was, but you open it up, like Anthony said, you open it up and it goes warm. For so many hours.
So many hours.
You can get it for your hands, you can sit on it, you get a different style.
And then you
like a
chemical
problem.
Yeah. So that's what they're advising for all those people that go to the game to buy. Imagine the millions of dollars or whatever.
Make all that.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of things. So let's read verse 15.
Mark,
yeah. Stay home. Yeah, that's right. Thus shall that be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every to his own quarter, none shall save thee. Now, in verse 15, the people that have labored with him, what do you suppose they were worshiping?
Some type of an idol.
Probably some kind of idol, the same as they were, prognosticators and sorcerers and so on. Now, labored even thy merchants, the ones that, that bought and sold. From my youth, they knew these people. What will these people going to do when trouble comes to the king of Babylon? Will they help the king?
No doubt.
They will wander,
disappear.
They will disappear. None shall save thee. Now, some people say, well, there's comfort in the multitude.
Mm-mm.
Well, if the multitude is wrong, sometimes there's no comfort, is it? In fact, it says in the book of Proverbs, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Because a lot of times, multitude, come on, be with me. Cast thy hand in. The first chapter of the book of Proverbs is a very good chapter for young people. In fact, I remember my wife's grandmother used to tell her children, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. They say, cast thy lot in with us. Consent thou not. Say, come on with us. See, the sinners do it. They drag you away. They try to encourage you. But don't do it. And none shall say, there's no hope for the king of Babylon.